Let's see if we can get this mic to work. I know this over-the-head mic looks weird on a bald guy. I know. It kind of. Can you get past that this morning? We get past the mic. That's kind of weird on the bald guy, and we'll be good. It'll be good. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you here today. Pastor Joel is away today, in case you hadn't figured that out yet. I'm here, and I'm excited to be here with you, because I know that this is a day that the Lord has made. Thank you. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Ah, we got it. All right. So are you ready to rejoice and be glad in the presence of the Lord this morning? Are you ready to understand that God's got something more for you than you are aware of right now? All right, this is good. If you are at that point, because God does have something more for you in your life than you've experienced right now. And we get wrapped up in all kinds of stuff in our lives that keeps us from being able to experience what He has and wants for us. And sometimes that can be a real bummer. We can get really upset and frustrated with that whole process if we're not careful. And I want to talk to you this morning about one thing. It's a bunch of things, but really it's one thing. One thing. One thing that declares truth. One thing that helps us to understand God's power, God's greatness inside of us. And one thing can make all the difference in your life. One thing. Problem is that one thing can also mess up your life. One thing. I'm going to quote a verse. We're going to go away from it. We're going to come back to it at the end. It's the verse that's in your scriptures. It's not on the overheads. This morning is in John chapter 2, verse 5. This is at Jesus' very first miracle, where He was at the wedding feast, and they ran out of wine. And Jesus' mother came to Him and said, "They're out of wine." And He said, "Woman," brave son, "woman, don't you know my time has not yet come?" And then she said something else that is really important. And I think she did it with the look that only a mom can give. She said to the servants, "Whatever He says to you, do it." And I think she turned back to Jesus and went, "I'm your mother. Don't make me get on my knees and talk to your father. You'll be in big trouble if you do that. But whatever He says to you, do it." What a powerful statement. A powerful statement about how God works and what God wants and how God wants to function in our lives. He wants us to understand that if we want to do and experience the things that God has for us, we have to simply hear and understand whatever He says to us, do it. I want to jump to another story now that will take us through a more understanding of this as we're going through. We're going to look over in the book of Luke. We're going to go to chapter 5, the book of Luke. You know, I may have this thing on backwards. Is that better? I had the same problem with my shirt this morning. I want to roll today. Here you go. I know, it's still goofy on the bald guy. I'm sorry. It's just Luke chapter 5. We're going to go there this morning, and we're going to read starting in verse 1. Of Luke chapter 5. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around Him and listening to the word of God, He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Simon asked, him to put out a little from the shore. Then He sat down and taught the people from the boat. When He had finished speaking, He said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because You say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For He and all His companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners.
Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled the boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. A word from Jesus. A word from Jesus can change your life. A word from Jesus can not only can change your life now, but it can go back into your history. And go back into your history and those hurts and scars that there are in your history. He can heal those hurts and scars in that history to give you peace for your past and strength for your moment and hope for your future. One word. One direction that can come to you and help you where you are at when you need it the most. God is so aware of who you are. God, the scripture tells us that God knit you together in your mother's womb. You were formed and fashioned, and he knew you before you were even born. There are no mistakes in this place this morning. There are no people who are trashed. There are no people that God said, oops, that was a problem. There's nothing like that in this place this morning from God's perspective. God didn't make a mistake in how he made you. He doesn't look at you and go, oh, I wish I'd put the different nose on them. You know, those ears are a little bit big. Maybe I should, you know, they look a little bit like Prince Charles. You know, you got to pull them in a little bit. No, he doesn't do that. He knit you together the way that you are supposed to be. He put you together the way that you are supposed to be. He looks at you and says, this is exactly what I want. And not only does he do that, say, you're exactly what I want. He says, I love you just the way you are. And he has something more for you than just the way you are. He has something for your life. He has power for your life. He has hope for your life. He has hope for your future. He has hope for every part of who you are. And this morning, I want to take us through a little bit of a journey with these disciples and some of the things that we learned from them as they stood and they were by the shore washing their nets. Because as they were there, there's lessons we can learn from them that help us to understand more about us. And any time I learn more about me, first of all, it's usually uncomfortable. But if I listen to it, I usually find that it's helpful. And so I want to talk about us this morning. I want to talk about how in that personal place God comes and one thing can make the difference. How one thing can turn things around. Jesus called, this is the story of Jesus starting to call his disciples. He called 12 of them. And as he started that process, these are not necessarily the kind of men that I would have chosen if I was going to call 12 people to change the world. These guys were really rough around the edges. These guys had their own issues and problems going through it all. These guys had things that they were still working through. But more importantly right now, these guys were sitting and they were washing their nets. Later on in the same passage that we just read, it said they hadn't caught anything all night long. So basically their nets had been going through the water all day being washed. They weren't catching anything. And yet at the end of the day, they came back and they sat down and they started washing their nets. Why do you sit down and wash your net if you haven't caught anything? Seaweed, maybe? I think they were a little south of that, quite frankly. Okay, they wash the power hose and bring it in. I want to tell you why I think these guys are washing their nets. It's because that's just what you did when you were done. That's just the routine. That's the routine. You did it when you were done. You talked about taking the power washer. Shh, power wash it off, you know. That's the routine. That's what you do at the end of the day. And quite frankly, that they got through this day and nothing productive had happened in that day. And they were probably thinking, oh man, I got to go home. The first thing my wife's going to ask me is, how was work? I'll go fine. She'll go, well, did you catch any fish? We got our nets clean.
Really? What's for supper? Seaweed?
Washing their nets because they had to. It's something that you just do. We get into routines in our lives. We get into things that we do that are just one day after the other. We do them. And we get into that routine. And once we get into that routine, sometimes we just get into that place where if we go through enough days where all we do is wind up washing our nets at the end of the day and there's nothing but caught, at the end of our day, we just do it and there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no strength. There's no nothing. You're just washing your nets. You're just going through the same routine every day, and every day you're getting tireder, more worn down, more beaten down, because nothing good is happening. These guys were out and they were washing their nets. They were struggling through some of the things in washing their nets. They had difficulty in what they were dealing with. You know, there was nothing else going to happen. And one of the greatest things that destroys us is our lack of hope and expectations that disappear. Imagine getting up in the morning, you're a fisherman, you haven't caught fish for 5 days, and Jack, you may have experienced it. You get up there in the morning, you haven't caught fish for 5 days, you go out there in the boat, and you're going to put your nets out again. And you're going, oh, I hope there's fish today. But the last 5 days haven't proven anything. I don't think I could stop you. Go right There you go. They got their fish. Absolutely. God's good that way. One sign from God. Hey, we answered your prayer. You got the fish. Here's these guys, though. They're washing their nets. They have gone through this whole process, and there's things that happen, and there are some things that will cause problems along the way with what we need to see and what God has for us. Let's go to the next slide. I want you to know that God has a definite agenda for your life. I use this verse a lot. If you heard me preach much, you know I use this verse a lot because it means so much to me. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. We need to be reminded about that a lot. Quite frankly, I need to be reminded about that almost every day. I can't go through very far without being reminded that God's got plans for me. Because when I forget that God's got plans for me, what I wind up doing is getting all wrapped up in what's going on or not going on around me. It takes you from where God wants you to be and puts you into the situation that you're in, and the situation becomes bigger than your God. Because you lose the sight that he has got plans for you, and not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. How many of you need hope this morning? Just within yourself. Just look. What kind of things do you need hope for? Do you need hope inside of you this morning? Do you need hope to be able to go ahead and to see what God has for you? Hope and faith come together in one thing, and hope and fear are opposite sides of the same coin. Hope and fear are the same thing on opposite sides. They're both your perception of what will happen in the future or your expectations of the future. Fear produces that expectation of, whereas faith produces that expectation of, hallelujah, Jesus. What's running inside of you? Faith or fear? Faith or fear along the way and what God wants to do. Next one. As we go through, we want to take a look at some of these things. Satan will do everything he can to keep you down. You need to understand that if Satan can take away your faith and your hope,
He can remove from you your purpose and plan. He can remove from you your joy. He can remove from you your peace of existence. And he can cause inside of you a wondering about why am I even here? To the point of I'm just a waste of space and air. Why don't I just give up? And I know that most moms here have hit that point at some point, as most dads have too. But being a parent, you go, I just don't know what else I can do. The enemy comes around. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He is constant. The devil is real. I'm sorry. If you come from a background that says, you know, we're not going to talk about the devil, he's just a myth, and just, you know, God's love, and all we have to do is love each other and everything will get along. I'm sorry, you're wrong. God is love, but there is a devil who's real, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy your peace. He wants to destroy everything about you. He wants to come against you and destroy you. And he will use every tactic he can to come against you. Every tactic. That's why the Bible says we war against, not flesh and blood, but against the spiritual realm. It's a war that we must fight. It's a battle that we must fight. I know we hate to talk about war. We're Canadians. We hate to talk about war. We're Canadians. Can't we just all hold hands and sing Kumbaya? But in the spiritual realm, I have to tell you, there is a battle. There is a war for your soul. There is a war for your family. There is a war for your life. There is a war for your peace. There is a war for your joy. And the enemy will do everything he can to try and destroy that in you. And unless you recognize that he's going to play dirty, and you have to be strong and fight back against it, he's going to win. That was a good place for an amen, too, by the way. The armor of God. That's right. We must fight against. Here these disciples were. They were at this place where they're feeling, oh, man, I may as well just quit. It could easily have been at that point. What's the point? I go out and I fish. There's nothing there. I try all these things. Nothing changes. I go through my life. All these things happen. What is all of that about? Why am I facing all these things? Let's go to the next one. We see what God has for us. They were washing their nets. And they're tired. One of the things that's so prevalent in our world today, in our society today, is that everywhere you go, everybody you talk to, everybody says, I'm tired. I'm just tired. It seems to be something going on. It's just like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's you know, too much McDonald's or if it's too much, too much McDonald's, too much TV, too much or too little something else. I don't know what it is, but tired. How many of you are tired? And the other half of you are lying. I understand that. It's going all right. They're tired. They go, I just want to go home. It's been a long day, a long night. We were out fishing all night long. I caught nothing. I'm sitting here, I'm washing my hands, and then I'm just tired. I'm just like, what's the point? I'm just tired. And when you get tired in your life, there is things that the enemy will try to do to come against you even more. You're susceptible to more things. He will cause you to believe that you are useless. You will. You'll go tired because you'll look at yourself and you'll say, I didn't get anything done. I can't accomplish anything. I cannot experience all the good. What did I do today? I went and did all this stuff, and what did it do? What did it accomplish? It didn't accomplish anything. I'm just tired. I can't do anything. When when you accomplish something during your day, you are able to then get experience, excitement, and fulfillment out of that, which energizes you to continue to go on. But when you're not accomplishing anything, all it does is beat you down and knock you down and make you tired. And you say, what is the point in what I'm doing? Next one. If we go through this process of just being tired, this is, I came across this, and actually this is from Pinterest. I'm sick of making things worse. I'm sick of being hurt. I'm sick of crying myself to sleep. I'm sick of faking a smile. I'm sick of feeling this way. I'm sick of letting people down, and I'm sick of being me. But Merry Christmas. You ever felt any of those? Those things come as a direct lie into your life from Satan. He tells you these things because he doesn't want you to know that you've got a hope and a future and a life and a purpose and a plan, that God wants to do all those things in you. He wants you to believe that this is the only reality for your life. I'm just sick of everything. I like the first one. I'm sick of making things worse. You tried, and no matter how much you try, it just seems to get worse. Maybe it's in a relationship with somebody. Maybe it's in your job. Maybe it's something at home. Maybe it's something that you're trying to do. But the more I try, the worser it gets. That's a theological word, by the way, worser. From the Greek to mean to make worse. I'm sick of making things worse. Think about that process now that you're going through in your own life, the things that you're facing right now for you, the things that you are up against, the things that you are struggling with, the things that you're going through so much. I'm just tired. Depression, weariness, failure. All speak into your lives, and they speak with a loud voice. This morning, I know that there are some here who have had a hurt or a failure many years ago. That hurt or failure in your life from many years ago has left such a scar upon your heart that it affects you today. That scar that's there, it, when you have to deal with people, when you have to deal with situations, particularly if there's something that's similar to what it was, every once in a while that scar causes you to react. And in some cases, it caused you to put up a wall saying, I'm not going to let anybody into that area of my life ever again because I do not want to be hurt like that ever again. I've built this wall of protection. And I need this wall of protection because if people get in there, and they, first of all, if they see the scar, they're not going to like me if they understand who I really am. But secondly, if they get in there and they hurt that scar again or they start to pick the scab off that scar, the next thing I know, I'm going to be hurting even worse in the middle of that. And I don't want to be hurting worse in the midst of that. I don't want to let people in there to hurt me. I can't go through that again. I don't want to go through that again. And there is that hurt from before that comes through and comes to hurt us. Tired. Sick of making things worse. Tired. I've got these hurts that are there, and they're just part of who I am. God doesn't want us to carry that stuff around. God doesn't want you to carry around all those things that you've been carrying that you have guarded and held so close and so tight that are hurting you so very, very bad, and it's causing your heart and your life to be wounded. There are so many wounded Christians around because the hurts that are there from so long ago, they continue to carry. And while Jesus Christ can come and he gives new life and he gives new hope, we hang on to some of this. We need to recognize that Jesus Christ has declared what he has about us, and he is our advocate before the Father.
And he stands there before the Father and he says, this person who is my child is completely clean and free from sin. And the Father says, I accept him that way. And they will come because Jesus Christ has declared by his blood, we are clean. But we argue with God, Jesus, about it.
Jesus will look down and we'll read the scripture and we'll see God's word that says, you are cleansed. You are free from all sin. You are healed from all of your afflictions. You are healed from all of those things which have been done into you. I come into your life and I sweep that thing clean. And we go, yeah, but I still have this. Yeah, but this person really hurt me in that situation. Yeah, but I'm crushed inside and part of me is hurting inside. And it needs to be healed. And I don't know how to heal it because every time I think about it or every time I start to work through it, it causes me more pain and I get more upset and it just sort of eats at me all the more and I don't know what to do.
You need one thing from Jesus. Because one thing can change everything. You need his touch. You need to receive what he has declared, he has given you. Healing for your heart. Healing for your life. Healing for where he wants to take you. When we feel like a failure, it is Satan who is telling you that you are feeling like a failure. And you should feel like a failure. It is Satan. It is not Jesus. It is not Christ. And he will tell you those lies to keep you from experiencing what God has for you. If those disciples standing there with their nets now did not listen to what Jesus said, they'd still, well, not still, but they would continue to go day after day washing their nets. They're tired. The other thing they do is they tried. They tried. Next one. I tried, it didn't work. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. It didn't work, tried it, didn't work. I got that new exercise machine, tried it. You know, I did it for 3 whole days, didn't work. I watched 3 hours of exercise videos. Put a dent in my couch watching those exercise videos. Tried it, didn't work. Tried it, didn't work. I tried this Christianity thing. Didn't work. You know, I thought, well, I'll give it a shot, see what happens. And just like, okay, Jesus, okay, right, change my life. Well, that didn't work. Some of you have been praying for a really long time about something. Anybody here praying for a long time about something? Some of you have been praying for a really long time about something, and the devil's going to come along, and he's going to whisper into your ear, it's not going to. You're wasting your time. And he may even say it something like this. You're continuing to pray for something that God has not done will actually damage your faith and the faith of others around you. Isn't that a dirty lie? Isn't that a sneaky way to try and get us to lose faith? God says, we need to keep going and persevere through the things around us. We've been going through the study of James in our home group, our life group. We come to James, we need to understand that trials and tribulations come into our lives, and then the result of that is what they produce, is they produce perseverance, because perseverance then leads to maturity. But we persevere because we know as we go into the trials and tribulations that God is in control and in charge and has a plan for it all, so we can have joy in the midst of those trials and tribulations as we persevere, because God's in control. And we come out the other side, we come out stronger because we've experienced God's power and seen his plan to take us through from where we've been. But we forget all that when we don't get reminded of it. And we struggle through what's going on. We struggle through trying to find the answers that are there. I'm tired. I don't want to give up anymore. I tried and it didn't work, and I tried and I failed. I tried to tell my neighbor about God and about Christ. And all they did was slam the door and laugh at me, and now they won't talk to me anymore. I tried. Never going to talk to anybody again. How many times have you been talking to somebody and you put your foot in your mouth? Not necessarily about God, but just like in general. You really put your foot in your mouth. You ever walked up to a lady and asked her when she's due? As he says, I'm not pregnant. Oh, I thought you were somebody else. No, that doesn't work. You just want to crawl underneath the nearest rock and stay there for the next 5 or 6 months and never hope you never see that person again for as long as you live. But we put our foot in our mouth and we go and we say, oh, we'll do something silly. We'll go, I'm never going to speak again. I'm never going to talk again. I'm not going to talk to anybody else again. I'm not going to go there again. And I'm just going to hide away and hope that in the midst of my hidingness, I don't offend or hurt anybody and embarrass myself. Because I tried and I failed. The disciples went out and they were fishing, trying to catch some fish. They tried and they failed. And then Peter comes along and he messes it all up. I love Peter. He's one of the guys that I just love. He loved. Jesus says to him, okay, gang, let's get back in the boats. And I want you to go out. Verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out in the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, one thing. Because you say so. Mary spoke to the servants, do whatever he says to you. When Jesus starts to speak, one word from God can come and it can heal your past. It can heal your broken heart. It can give you strength for today. It can give you hope for tomorrow. One word from God can take you from that place of being tired and depressed and worn out and fearful and anxious and just at the point of giving up about everything. And he can come and he can say to you, now if you will do what I say, you're going to experience something different, something new, something powerful. Do you want something new? Then you have to listen to what God says. They took their boats out. Peter said, because you say so, well, okay, we did fishing all night. We didn't get anything, but okay, here we go. Everybody, guys, we're going out again. Out they go into the water. They let down their nets. There was so many fish. They couldn't hold them in the boat. They had to get the other boat out to bring all the fish back in. And at that point in time, the disciples went, oh. Peter fell down at the feet of Jesus and said, oh, you are prophet. Jesus said, come on now. What you've seen here is just this catch of fish. Come with me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And what really is astounding, we often miss, is they says right then and there, they left their boats and followed Jesus. That means they also left the fish they just caught. Those fish didn't matter anymore. Okay? Those things that they were so worried about didn't matter anymore.
When God gets a hold of you and God speaks into your heart and speaks into your life and he gives you something that you need right in that moment and he brings back your joy, he brings back your peace, he brings back your purpose, he brings back your understanding, he gives you this inside of you, says, oh yeah, come on, let's do this. And all that happens, all that other stuff that you were so worried about fades. That hurt from that person so many years ago can fade when you understand Jesus' plan for you right now. It can fade. That hurt that you've guarded and protected so much, Jesus says, I want you to come and I want you to understand that there is healing for you right now in the midst of this, that I can touch you and heal you and set you free from those things that you have held on to for so very long. Because when you do that and let go of that, you can experience now in the future in a way that you've never experienced it before. What a glorious God we have. What a powerful God we have. That he cares about that. And all he says to you is that you must come. Come to me, he says. Come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me and I will refresh you. I will give you peace. I will give you strength. I will give you healing. I will give you power. I will give you might. I will give you direction. I will give you everything that you need in your life. But you have to come to me. Don't go to the horrible scopes. The Ouija boards, the psychics, Don't look into the crystals. Forget that nonsense. Understand that it comes from Christ and Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone has your hope and has your future. Jesus Christ alone has your healing. Jesus Christ alone can give to you everything that you need. Jesus Christ alone can do all the things that you need in your life. Next one. Jesus Christ alone can give you what you want. It says here, to the one who calls you the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. God will do what he said he will do. He is faithful to you. That's amazing to me, that God is faithful to me. He will do what he said for me. And he will do it for you. The one who is called, one who calls you is faithful. God calls you. He is faithful to you. He's got more faith in you than you have in him. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That phrase, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be broken. Do not let your hearts be crushed. Do not let your hearts be wounded. And do not be afraid. God has that healing. God has that strength. God has that power to work in your life, to help you through with the things that you've got in your life, to give you the things that you need and that you want, to give you the power, the grace, and the glory that is what he wants to have in your life. And because he says so, next one, because he says so, because you say so, I will not quit. I will not quit. I will not quit. What God has called me into in my life, I will not quit. Even though I'm struggling through things in my life for who I am and what I am, even though I'm struggling through things in my marriage, even though I'm struggling through things with my family, even though I'm struggling, whatever it is that you're struggling with right now, I will not quit. I will not give up. I will not give up. I will not settle. I will keep believing. I will keep hoping. I will keep expecting. I will keep believing. I will keep hoping. I will keep expecting. I will keep believing. I will keep hoping. I will keep expecting. I will keep believing. I will keep hoping. I will keep expecting. Because it is in that there is strength and power and healing from Jesus Christ that I need in my life every day. And so do you. Because he says so. Go back to Mary. Whatever he says to you, do it, she said. So I lay that out to you this morning. There are verses, I know, for most of you that are in your heart and in your mind, things that are being brought to memory, even as we've talked this morning, things that maybe we've seen here, but things other that are your verses, God spoken to you in the past. Because God has had plans for you from the moment you became a Christian. From before you became a Christian. But as soon as you became a Christian, they started to become real. And God has spoken to you with truth, with words of encouragement and life. And those words are in your heart right now. And I can't give you what those are. I can't give you those specific things. But you know what they are. And I challenge you this morning, and I beg you this morning, understand that truth that God has spoken to you, and now, right now, make your decision to say, I'm going to believe what God has said. I'm going to believe what God has said. I need healing from my heart. I need healing from my past. I need healing and strength right now. I need direction right now. I need physical healing. I need God's goodness and grace in my life. I need from God right now. There are things I need from God right now. And in the midst of those things I need from God right now, I need to know his truth for me right now. And I will keep believing. I will keep hoping. I will keep expecting. Because if you don't, you're sitting there washing your nets. And you get caught up in just doing the same old thing. The same old thing over and over. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. Time to get a hold of God's truth. I want to pray for you this morning. I want you to just,
I want you to do something that we don't usually do. I want you to take a bold step this morning. There is something in your life that you need God to work through. Something that you know is a truth of His Word that you need to work in some area of your life. I want to pray for you. And I want you, in just a moment when we pray, I want you to stand up where you are. Just stand. Say, Lord, that's me. I need healing. I need healing for my heart. I need healing in my life. I need direction. I'm tired. I've tried and I failed and I just feel like such a failure. God, I need to go beyond where I am. I need to go beyond where I am. And I know you have it for me. And I know your word is true for me. If that's you, I'm going to invite you just to stand and I want to pray for you and we're going to pray together that God will work that truth into you for your life. Would you stand? If that's you this morning, just stand up right where you are. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand to the Lord. Father, I thank you this morning that as we come into this house, you are our God, our Father. You love us, and you are here for us right now. We stand before you, and we lift our hands to you because, Lord, we need your touch. We've gotten to a point in our lives where things have just been sort of happening over and over and over and over again, and we've gotten to this routine, and, Lord, we've gotten tired and discouraged and we're getting worn down and the enemy has got a hold of us and our faith is being rocked and we're not believing what we should believe and there's those hurts that we have. Lord, we need you right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I declare that your truth will speak into the hearts of each person here right now, that your truth will speak into them, that, Lord, you will break the bondages of old hurts, of old things that are scarring hearts. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare freedom on hearts that are crushed and broken. I declare freedom on scars that are upon lives. I declare the freedom of God that they are broken now in the name of Jesus. And we are free in Christ to receive your goodness and glory. And Lord, I pray for your peace now to flow down upon us in Jesus' name. Lord, we need your peace. We need your wisdom. We need your strength. And Lord, I want to feel inside of each one of us that we are filled with your joy. I speak against depression in the name of Jesus. I come against weariness in the name of Jesus. I come against those things that knock you down in the name of Jesus. I come against those lies that are spoken to you that tell you that you are worthless in the name of Jesus. I come against the lies that say you are a failure in the name of Jesus, because in Christ Jesus, you are whole and complete and filled with his power and glory right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We receive from you this morning, Lord, because we need you and we love you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and for your love. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your might. We thank you. We thank you. I will believe. I will have hope. I will persevere. The enemy cannot take away from me what God has given, because this is the word of God. One thing, the one thing from God that I can get a hold of this morning that can change my life and turn it around for the good once again, that God loves me enough to give me this hope and this life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Now you can turn around and give somebody a hug. Praise God. We're going to have a time of communion here. We're also going to have a time of prayer. Kim and Wes are here. Wes is here. We're going to take some time and pray with them. So we'll ask Kim and Wes if you'll come down over here. If you'd like to pray, we're going to gather. I'm going to pray for Wes's healing. I want that God's strength and power will be upon them. There'll be a prayer team over here on this side as well. If you would like prayer for something specific for your life, we invite you to come and visit the prayer team over here. And also communion will be served this morning as well. And you can come and partake of communion, those of you who wish to, with that this morning. Because God loves you. Understand that. Don't be washing your nets. Don't be just sitting around doing the same old thing all the time, letting the enemy knock you down and beat you down. But get up and listen to what Jesus says. Because you say so, Jesus, I will do what you told me. And the grace and power of God will be on you. May the grace and peace of Jesus go with you. May his power overwhelm you this week. May you sense his presence every day. And may you radiate his joy everywhere you go. Let his hand be upon you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.